Pastor Joel said, my name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. And I hope you're ready this morning because I'm just feeling a little bit of the unction of the Holy Ghost. Come on. If you don't know what that means, come see me later and I'll explain it to you. But seriously, I woke up early this morning and I'm just feeling really ready. And I woke up early and I know that a new level of faith is arising in my wife Sam's heart. Because I don't know how many years she's been praying and asking the Lord that I could not snooze my alarm 5 times or 7 times. But she woke up with new faith this morning because I was up before her and the kids. Come on. You can, yeah, we're going somewhere today, so I hope you're ready. We are in our series called Q and A. And the first 2 weeks, Pastor Nathan has brought us with the first question, that first feeling of, why don't I feel God? We wrestled with that on week one. And then last week on Easter Sunday, we wrestled with the idea that God isn't fair. And ultimately, we realized that God is not fair because he sent Jesus for us when we did not deserve it. And so this week, we're going to go beyond that to the question of, why isn't God answering my prayers? Why am I getting no answer? That's the title for today's message, no answer. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Or at least, why isn't God answering the way I expected him to answer my prayers? This is a tough question, something that we all deal with in this walk of faith. And I want to give one more warning before I go any further this morning. Here at Worcester Naz, we have 5 values, and they are truth, worship, prayer, kindness, and generosity. If you haven't taken the basics classes and you don't know that, or if you did take it and forgot it, maybe come back on the 29th. We're having an all-in-one. You can sign up for it. But that first value of truth, we still and always will believe that this is the truth, God's word. And so this morning, I'm going to have a lot of scripture, and I hope you're okay with that. John 14:13-14 says this, you can ask for anything in my name. This is Jesus speaking. It's in this section of John where it's before he went to the cross, and he's just like downloading all of these things to the disciples. And I just reread this leading up to Easter, and it's not funny, but it's just kind of pitiful. Like, Jesus is telling the disciples all these things, and they're just like, we don't get it, Jesus. He's like, I wish you could just understand. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. That's Jesus saying that. That's the type of faith we can have when we pray. And we see examples of that throughout the Bible. Joshua in the Old Testament prayed for the sun to stand still, and it did. Daniel prayed for the mouths of the lions to be shut, and they were. Jonah prayed, and God sent a great fish to rescue him. Now, that's a little bit of a different answer. That wasn't even supposed to be funny. That was an extra one. How about this one? Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours. And he died on the cross. And maybe you're feeling like this morning, I prayed and I prayed and nothing is happening. So we're going to talk about that. But before we get into any more of that, I want to go to the Old Testament and give an example of a story of faith. In the book of Daniel, if you read it, the book starts out and it talks about how the king of Babylon, God allowed him to overtake the king of Israel. And if that's a longer story about the Old Testament, we can't get into. But basically, the Babylonians took Jewish captives. They took people from the nation of Israel captives, and they were living in amongst the Babylonians. And there were certain ones of those that were from the royal families that got brought up into the king's court into doing different roles. And there was one of those was Daniel, and then his 3 buddies, which their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I just gave you like the first 2.5 chapters of Daniel in about 3 sentences. So go back and read more of that for context. But it came to this point where King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, He built this golden, had this golden statue built of himself, and he made this decree, and he said that when the trumpets blow, when the music happens, everyone must bow and worship the golden statue of me. That was the decree. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we are not doing that because we pray to and we serve the one true God. And so Nebuchadnezzar got word of that. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought before him. And this picks up chapter 3, verse 15 to 18. This is Nebuchadnezzar. He says, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue that I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Whew. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, oh, Nebuchadnezzar. Like, I just feel like they just had this, like, sound of contempt, but, like, not contempt, but confidence in the way they responded. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. In verse 18, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. Woo! Talk about faith. Even if he doesn't. And as I wrestled with that story and this idea of no answer this week, the Lord just kept bringing me back to this big idea that I have for us today. This is the one thing I really want you to get. Even if he doesn't, he already has. And I'm not saying that to confuse you. I am going to cliffhang that. You can cue the SVU music, dun dun, because we're not going any further into that right now. But even if he doesn't, he already has. We'll get there. But before we get there, I want to talk about why do we maybe end up in these situations where we feel like our prayers are not being answered, or they're not being answered the way that we think they should be. The first problem might be a broken relationship. Maybe you might not even have a relationship with God in the first place, so you've run away and you find yourself in a time of trouble trying to pray to a God who you aren't even in relationship with. I'm telling you, that's never going to work. Or maybe it's a broken relationship with somebody else in your life, a spouse, a friend, a family member. This is what it says, Mark chapter 11. I tell you, you can pray for anything. That's the type of faith we should have. I'm going to keep encouraging you with that this morning. We should have the type of faith where we can pray for anything. And if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. But, and remember, this is Jesus speaking. When you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. When Jesus was teaching us, teaching his disciples, teaching the people he was around how to pray, he said, you should pray and ask for anything. Ask for it in my name. But before you even do, you better forgive your brother. You better forgive that coworker that you've been holding that grudge against for the last 7 years. You better forgive that person in your past that hurt you and will never say sorry. You better choose to forgive. Matthew 5 says, you cannot love God and hate your brother. Gets practical in a hurry. That's how God's word is. I'm not even going to say I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes, because this is the truth that we're going into this morning. So many times we choose to treat those that we are the closest to the worst. Why would we do that? You can come to church and have joy in your heart and go home and have this knockdown drag out with your spouse, or maybe it doesn't even, it starts in the parking lot on the way out of here. Broken relationships cut off the flow. Maybe that is a problem that you're dealing with when you're praying. when you're asking for his will in your life. The second thing that might be a problem is that we might just have the wrong motives when we are praying, when we are asking for whatever it is. James chapter 4, verse 3. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. Whew, that already hurts, but it hurts even more here. You want only what will give you pleasure. Whew. James just kind of says it how it is. How often do we find ourselves praying, God, give me this. It would make me so happy. It would make my life so much better. God, give me that. Give me this. I just want it for me. We see this throughout the Bible. The religious leaders, they prayed just only to be seen and heard. That was their motive, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They just wanted people to know how holy they were, how incredible they were, how much they knew the law. Or maybe the wrong motive is, God, please bless my business, help it to multiply. But you're not even willing to return the tithe, what's already his. God, help me win the lottery. I promise I'll give half away. I don't know if you ever prayed that one. God, help me win and help them lose. I don't know if we should be praying that one either. Maybe we have the wrong motives. Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, people may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Another translation says basically, God knows your heart. What is your motive when you're praying? I want to caution you this morning to not just pray self-focused, bless me prayers and focus on blessing him and blessing others. The third problem that we might have is that maybe we don't actually believe that God can or that he will actually do what we're asking him to do. Maybe we don't believe that he can, or maybe we don't believe that he really will. Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Matthew 9, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's what Jesus said when he was healing a group of blind people. According to your faith, because you believed. There's a story in the book of Mark. There was a boy that was demon-possessed, and his father and people around them brought him before Jesus. And they were describing how this boy was just suffering with this demon possession. I know we don't like to talk about demons in church, but it's in the Bible, okay? This is real. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and things unseen. And God's bigger than all of it. Come on, Judy, I'm going to really start preaching this morning, because I hear you down there. I might throw a ha in there at some point. Careful. But they bring this boy, and he's suffering with this demon possession. Mark 9, verse 22, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. That's what they said to Jesus, if you can. Verse 23, Jesus responds, what do you mean if I can? And I don't know this. This is just my thought about this passage. I don't think Jesus said that with like, what do you mean you don't think I can? I think he said it with outstretched arms saying, what do you mean, my children? You don't think I can do even this? Anything is possible if a person believes. And the next verse I didn't include in the slides, the father responds, and I know I felt this way, so I know you've had to have felt this way sometime in your life. The father says, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe Jesus, but help my unbelief. We need to have faith to believe that God can really do what he says he can do. But even that faith is not a guarantee that we will get our preferred outcome or our preferred answer. James 1, 6 to 7. I told you, we have a lot of scripture today. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Maybe we don't actually believe that God can or God will. The fourth and last problem I'll talk about, that doesn't mean my message is over. We're not quite there yet. Don't get too excited. But maybe we are caught up, and maybe especially in the American church, of having this have it your way, have it my way mentality when it comes to praying. I'm telling you, God is not the God of Burger King, okay? He does have a crown, but it's a whole different story. Woo! That wasn't in the notes. First John 5, 14, 15. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. That doesn't say my way, that says his way. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. I said it before, but I'll say it again. God is never obligated to answer us the way that we want him to. We must align with his truth and his will. And come to this place, this decision that his grace is enough, that his way is better. But maybe in this I want it my way mentality, maybe you found yourself praying some prayers like this. I know I've prayed some like this in the past. God, I want that house. I want it now. It's my money and I want it now. Call the general. It's a commercial if you don't have cable. I want that job. God, please give me that job. You know how hard I've worked on myself and I've done all these things in my own strength. I want that job. Or God, I know that I'm supposed to marry that person. I've been convinced of that for the last 10 years of my life. I want to marry that person. And God doesn't answer us the way that we think he should. And I can tell you from experience that years later down the road, you will be able to look back. And instead of saying, God, I want this, you can have a new perspective to say, God, thank you for not giving me that. Because your way was so much better. I shared about this before, and I'm not gonna go all the way into it. But just something I was talking with Sam about recently is we are so thankful for our son Judah, who will be 4 in June, and our daughter Emery, who will be 2. That girl's a little spitfire, so y'all better watch out. You better stay true to your commitment you made when she got dedicated to be kind to her. Whew. That's real. But I was talking to Sam about this recently, and we went through this season of 5 years of trying to have kids, and we went through 2 different miscarriages. And the feeling and the reality of those losses were so real and so raw and shaped us in a way that we ultimately needed. And when I think about Judah and Emery, I can't imagine having different kids than Judah and Emery. And what I'm trying to say is, even though that loss was so real, God's plan was still so good. And his purpose is still so real. Because when I say goodnight to my son, like last night, when I got home from men's retreat, and he just didn't want to let go. He said, "Daddy, I just want some more big snuggles." That big heart that Judah has. We wouldn't have had that if he was born in 2017, because he wouldn't be Judah. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to say that God's plan is always so much better than mine. I'm starting to cry, so I'm going to get a drink of water. Give me a sec. So maybe you struggle with one of those problems. But I want to come back to our example in the book of Daniel to give us kind of the end of that story, an example of true faith and true hope in God. So in between where I left off and where I'm picking this up, basically Nebuchadnezzar goes into another rage because they refuse to bow to him. And he says, crank the fire up to 7 times hotter than it even is and throw them in. And the Bible says that even the guards that threw them into the fire, the 2 soldiers died because the fire was so hot when they threw them in. And we pick this up in verse 23. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames, but suddenly, that's a good word. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Why, yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." Don't get me started about theophanies and Jesus showing up in the Old Testament, because that's really a whole nother message. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace, and he shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." That's Nebuchadnezzar speaking. "Come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Now, in the book of Daniel, it doesn't tell us what they were praying as they went into the fire, but I promise you they were. And it wasn't these wimpy prayers. It was the type of prayers that was reflected in those first verses that, "God, we know that even if you don't, you are still good. And even when we can't in our own strength, you still can. And so we will go willingly. We will not bow to the enemy. We will not be defeated because you are God. And no matter what happens in our lives, you are still good." And they walked out of the fire. I'm telling you, we serve a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and beyond whatever we could hope or even imagine. So what should our response to all of this be? What do we need to do about this today? I want to offer this as my suggestion. We should find ourselves today in just a position of gratitude and surrender. We just sang about this through Easter. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was applied to me. God, I thank you. I just thank you. Not for anything that you've done, but just for who you are. And ultimately, Lord, I surrender. We keep talking about this ultimate yes. That's what I'm talking about today. Coming to this point of saying, Jesus, it's all yours. I surrender. I give up. I'm done praying my way. I'm done believing in my own strength. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, I'm sure you all have heard this maybe somehow in your life. And I'm using the King James Version because I love how Pastor emphasizes this. Matthew 6, 9 to 10. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I don't want you to miss that word hallowed. It just means like your name is so holy. It's so pure. It's so good. Catch this. thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want to offer to you today that this is the way that we should be praying, is ultimately saying, God, I want this and I believe you can do it, but thy will be done. We should keep asking for strength. We should ask for wisdom. We should ask for courage. We should have this mindset that I believe God can, I believe God will, and I'm going to keep believing. But ultimately, even if he doesn't, he already has. I have a video clip for you to watch, and then we'll wrap this up. So please turn your eyes to the screen.
There's a picture in the museum in the Louvre. I don't know how many of you have ever been there. The picture is called Checkmate. The devil's sitting on this side. There's a chessboard, and there's a guy sitting on the other side. And the guy sitting on the other side has his hand on his head like this. And he's like in desperation. And as they were taking a tour through the Louvre, there had been a group of athletes, and particularly world champions, that were being given a special tour. And in the tour was the world chess champion. And he comes walking by the picture. And the guy's explaining to him, this is a picture of an artist rendering of somebody who lost a battle with the devil. And so the group moved on to the next picture to see something else. But the world chess champion, he stayed there. And he just kept looking at the picture. And soon they noticed that he was not with the group. And so the tour guide came back and said, we've moved on. Are you coming? He said, well, I've been looking at this picture. And the guy said, yeah. He said, it's called Checkmate. The devil's laughing. The man's lost. And he said, yeah. He said, I've been noticing that. He said, but while I've been standing here, I've kept looking at the picture. I've got a problem. And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player, and I spend my life playing chess, and normal people don't always see what a world champion chess player sees. He says, but when y'all walked off, I looked at the devil laughing, and I looked at the man in desperation. But he said, I noticed something on the chessboard. He said, either they're going to have to change the painting or they're going to have to change the name. And the guy said, well, why are they going to have to do that? He said, well, you know, I'm a world champion chess player. And he said, when I observed the board, I found out the king still has one more move. I come to tell somebody today, you believe you've been cornered. You believe everything is gone and nothing has got any hope. But the king still has one more move. In the fullness of time, God sent his son.
Come on. I told you we're going somewhere today, church. Ephesians chapter 2. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that we have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 4. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Daddy, I need more snuggles. I just threw that part in. Now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. And let me read you this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. This is what we just celebrated with Easter. He took the humble position of a slave. He appeared in human form, and in human form, he obediently humbled himself, even by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Because of this, God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God our Father. What I'm trying to say to you today, when I say, even if he doesn't, he already has. I'm trying to say to you that we should have this type of faith that we saw in that video, that God has one more move, and he is exceedingly able to do whatever we ask for and whatever we pray for. I'm telling you, in the middle of your situation, God is not done. He has one more move. But I also, at the same time, am telling you that even if he doesn't answer your prayers the way you think he should, he already has in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Because Jesus is enough. And if Jesus isn't enough for you, I think you're in the wrong place, because that's what we believe in here. I'd invite you to stand to your feet this morning. My heart has not been to use fancy words or words to confound you this morning, like Paul says in Corinthians. My heart has been that we would just land on that simple truth, that Jesus is enough. We should keep having faith. We should keep believing. We should keep praying and asking for things in his name, but ultimately come to that point of surrender, of saying, Jesus, Father God, your will be done. So this morning as I pray, maybe you've been wrestling with one of those problems. Maybe you've had the wrong motives. Maybe you've just been trying to do it your way. Maybe you've had the right heart in your prayer and you just want to come and lay something else down at his feet. Maybe you just want to come and say, I'm giving my ultimate yes. I'm fully surrendering my life. Maybe you need to come and just say yes to Jesus for the first time. But I want to encourage you, don't leave without responding. If the Holy Spirit, if your heart is pounding, just be obedient. Just be obedient this morning. Remember, even if he doesn't, he already has. God, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your faithfulness. And I thank you that we can pray with full faith and ask for things in your name, Jesus, because you gave us the power as your children to do so. And we have seen you move in miraculous ways. I've seen you do it in my own life time and time again. You have come through. You are the God of miracles. You are still healing and still moving. And through all of that, you reign supreme. And your plan is always better than mine. And so today, we come surrendering our hearts, saying we will have faith, but we will be surrendered to your will and your way and your purpose for our lives. So transform us this morning. We love you, Jesus. We pray all this in your name. Amen.